This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
Another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, and it is a great nation where there should be great unanimity that some elements of left-wing woke culture have just gone nuts. They not only want to devour their enemies, they do that sometimes to their friends. There was a great quote by Benjamin Disraeli, the British Prime Minister in the Victorian era. We're all thinking about Great Britain, right, because of the death of Prince Philip. Benjamin Disraeli once said, the only difference between liberals and cannibals is cannibals only eat their enemies. And Paul Kangor of the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. And boy, this is usually the time in Grove City where there is a big conference from the Institute for Faith and Freedom, which I am sure is going to be renewed in coming years. Paul Kangor, thanks for joining us. So tell me, why did the woke mob come after Cher?
Yeah, it's fascinating. By the way, I love that Benjamin Disraeli quote. It's really good. I open my piece in American Spectator. I say that the left is like Saturn, right? It eats its own children. And what happened to Cher last weekend, I mean, here's somebody who she's become a kind of favorite hatchet lady for liberals, and she's always torching Republicans on Twitter. And last weekend, she issued what she thought was a kind of touching statement of solidarity with George Floyd, and she positioned it, Michael, in between, you know, regular torpedoes at Republicans, right, who she called in uppercase letters racist GOP lawmakers in every Ku Klux Klan state, right? So she has this message where she wrote that she was talking with her mom, and her mom said that she had watched the trial of the policeman who killed George Floyd and cried, and she said, quote, "Mom, I know this is going to sound crazy, but I kept thinking, maybe if I had been there, I could have helped." Which, you know, sounds, Michael, like a really nice thought, right?
What's fascinating to me is, how could she have helped? What would she have done? Yeah. Would she have come up to, which police officer would she have assaulted? I mean, what?
Right.
But go ahead. So she said,
well, maybe
this.
She would have donned her Cherokee outfit. I'll get to this in a second and hatcheted him. But.
Saying Cherokees with hatchets, are you? But go ahead.
So she was called out for something called white savior complex. White savior complex. And you know, one of these young progressives wrote, obviously Cher has some sort of white savior complex. And I quote three of them saying that. And I mean, I never even heard of white savior complex until that very weekend. And the occasion for me writing about this, Michael, I was at church on Sunday and after Mass, and I was talking to one of the other dads, and we were talking about how Cher had just been attacked. And we thought, this is really weird. What the heck is white savior complex? And my friend said, he said, well, you know, this is how liberals eventually come after their own. And I said, yeah, you don't even know. You could be a liberal in good standing, thinking you're saying a nice liberal thing, and you could run afoul of the ministry of truth and get accused of something called white savior complex without even knowing what it is or thinking you did anything bad. And then my friend said to me, he said, you know, I've always wondered, Cher did that piece called Half Breed. Right? That song from the 70s called Half Breed. And he thought, how does she get away with that? right? How does she get away with a politically incorrect? I mean, they're canceling poor Kate Smith, her God Bless America, which for something that Kate said in another song written by some songwriter, you know, they've gone after Dr. Seuss. They're chopping, they're taking down statues of all sorts of people. And here was Cher, you know, out there singing in full Indian headdress about being a pure Cherokee, or at least her mother being a pure Cherokee, and, you know, singing about half-breeds. And as I note in my piece, if you look up half-breed, the Free Dictionary defines it as, quote, this term is usually used with disparaging intent and perceived as insulting, implying that a person of mixed race is somehow different or inferior. And dictionary.com calls it a contemptuous term used to refer to the offspring of parents of different racial origin, unquote. And I don't even know if Cher, how much of any Cherokee blood she has or her mother has or whatever, but this is the kind of thing that for liberals, it usually doesn't matter, right? They will annihilate you.
You know why? Because Cher is more Cherokee than Elizabeth Warren. I'm even more Cherokee than Elizabeth Warren. This is what that song, this is what that song Half Breed sounded like, and she did perform it with an Indian feather headdress and playing up her, I think, somewhat dubious identification as a Native American. Here's Cher. Both sides were against her. This is the ultimate statement, and this is how she gets away with it, Paul, of victimization. And
right.
The real tribe she identifies with is not Cherokees, it's victims. That's her tribal identity. I am a victim. Go ahead.
Right, right. No, that's exactly right. By the way, if you click the video, she looks more like Cleopatra than Pocahontas, right? Except I doubt that Cleopatra or Pocahontas ever disrobed quite this much out in public.
Cleopatra was really Greek, not Egyptian, but go ahead.
Well, and frankly, Cher is mostly Armenian, right? At least on her father's side.
Right, it's Cheryl Sarkeesian, right.
Yeah. Which is funny, because I never thought of even looking up her ethnicity until I did a little background on this. I figured she was Italian, Michael. I mean, maybe it was...
No, she's always plays thing. Italians in movies. And Moonlight, Moonstruck, her Oscar-nominated movie role. She plays Italian and often does, but go ahead.
And she married Sonny Bono, a good paisano, right? I could say that as a guy who's half Italian.
right.
But she also had songs, you know, album titles, you know, Dark Ladies, Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves, right? And look, I mean, my position on this stuff is so what? Nobody should get bent out of shape about any of this. You know, you and I were talking off air. We don't really like the term cancel culture. Of course, we don't like what's attempted by people canceling each other. I mean, everybody should lighten up and back off, right? I don't want to cancel anybody.
Oh, lighten up? Are you calling for people to be more white? Is that what you mean by lighten up, huh?
Let me ask
you this very quickly, Paul, because I really would your thoughts on this. She was commenting about the George Floyd trial. What's the best outcome for the George Floyd trial for America?
Well, it's a good question. And honestly, I've read the charges against him. I don't think they'll be able to get anything on him other than some sort of reckless, right, unintentional killing, Derek Chauvin. But the charge of, is it first-degree murder, I believe?
They have second and third-degree murder. He's charged with both second and third degree.
They're not going to get all of those. There's just no way. And I mean, he clearly didn't intend to kill him. And clearly from the autopsy, there were other factors overwhelmingly contributing to his death. And also, right out of the Minneapolis State Police Manual, that maneuver is permitted. Now, maybe not for 8 or 9 minutes, right? And that's where he can get accused, I think rightly so, of maybe being reckless or not careful or unintentional. But I don't think they could get him for anything along the lines of first-degree murder. And
well,
so
we will talk about it. That's Paul Kangor, professor at political science at Grove City College, where he heads the Institute for Faith and Freedom. Check it out. Post it at our website at michaelmedved.com. Grove City doing a great job and in business. We'll be right back on the Medved Show. I first became aware of Josh Tolley as a very well-known commentator and writer who talked all about how to apply timeless values to the job of investing and business. And now he has an opportunity you need to know about.
Michael, first let me say it is a pleasure to be involved with your show and earn your endorsement. But you're right. People are worried. Politics, societal decay, market volatility, even how to transfer wealth to that next generation. Shift Capital can protect up to 25% of a family or business's wealth, offering tax-free, yes, really, tax-free compounding, no market tie-ins, 5 to 6% compounding dividend return, protected from creditors and with a 140-year track record. Before you invest, protect the money first. ShiftCapital.com, shyft-capital.com, or 1-800-289-7061.
Or you can find out further information at michaelmedved.com. To put it simply, materialism is the attempt to prove that human beings are merely meat in motion, and that we have no free will, that we have no souls, that morality and religion are simply evolutionary artifacts programmed by nature for survival, and that our very thoughts and ideas can be fully explained by our brain chemistry. Darwin's theory of evolution made scientific atheism credible by offering a scientific explanation on how human beings could be generated through a blind process of random variation and natural selection. At discovery.org/Medved, you can get a free mini book, free, Darwin's Three Big Ideas That Impacted Humanity. It explores how three key concepts from Darwin undermine morality, religion, medicine, the criminal justice system, and the value of human life. Get your free book at discovery.org/Medved. That's discovery.org/Medved.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
on the Michael Medved show, I often say that one of the great things about having Oregon right next door to Washington State is that you sometimes get a perspective on craziest. We will get to that in a moment. Let me just say for the record, we were talking at the end with Paul Kangor. I don't want anyone to associate a defense of Derek Chauvin with this show. I believe that he behaved in an indefensible manner. As most of his colleagues, all of his colleagues who have testified so far from the Minneapolis Police Department, from other police departments and other experts in policing have talked about, this is not acceptable cop behavior. What Paul Kangor was talking about was whether he is going to be found guilty of murder. He's charged with murder in the second degree. I think that's very unlikely that he will be convicted of murder in the second degree. He may be convicted of murder in the third degree. But he's also charged with a manslaughter charge, and he will be convicted of that. He, without question, deserves conviction for a criminal offense. And it seems to me that the trial as it's been presented so far, of course, we haven't heard the defense version yet. We will. We will be speaking with Andy McCarthy coming up next week. Andy, of course, veteran federal prosecutor, who also has been impressed, as I have been, with a very effective prosecution of Officer Chauvin so far. Okay. Having said that, and wanting very much for that record to be clear, let me go to an email that we received this week from Rick in Corvallis, Oregon. He says, "Hello, Michael. Yesterday, my life was threatened by a homeless puke who was urinating on parked cars in a public park in Albany, Oregon, along with a couple of his friends. When I called 911, I was told the police were too busy to respond in a timely manner and that I should just get away as quickly as possible. I never got a call back from an officer, which used to be normal procedure to at least get some more facts and ascertain whether or not I was still breathing. I'm no victim, but if this is happening in semi-rural Oregon, then it's got to be much worse in big cities with even more Chinese fentanyl, heroin, and meth flooding the streets of America. There will be blood. People are angry. And who the hell would want to be a cop under the present circumstances? Most police departments across the country are struggling mightily with recruitment. The next obstacle to becoming a cop, marijuana use, I'm sure will fall in order to maintain minimum staffing levels of police. And that will be a disaster. I've got to believe that there are many people more like me who will refuse to yield public spaces to criminals, and smaller towns will rise up first to stop this terrible trend." If he's talking about the terrible trend about basically coddling what is called homelessness, and it should be called homeless. We're talking about vagrants. We are talking about transients. We are talking about people who occupy public spaces, like a park in Albany, Oregon, and then abuse the law-abiding, tax-paying public. And often abuse that law-abiding, tax-paying public by doing damage to the environment. What troubles me so much is that people, as in Seattle, like the typical Seattle liberal voter, proclaims, "Oh, I'm a defender of the environment. I want to keep the Northwest beautiful." And by the way, so do I. But who are perfectly amenable to tolerating graffiti everywhere, trash everywhere, discarded needles everywhere, and basically tolerating homeless encampments of drug addicts, drug purveyors, people with criminal records, people with psychiatric histories, homeless encampments of up to 50 tents on school grounds or adjacent to school grounds for public schools. This is totally unacceptable. And I believe that our correspondent from Corvallis, Rick, is entirely correct that this in the long term will not be tolerated. And we do have civic elections coming up in the city of Seattle. And the main focus should not be on how many billions of dollars more we need to spend to basically coddle, sustain, help, and allow to continue living self-destructive lives of so-called homeless populations, people experiencing homelessness. Because, see, this is not just temporary people who are temporarily out of luck. Because people who are temporarily out of luck often can find either relatives or homeless shelters. These are people who basically affirm the right to abuse public spaces and to camp in them. And it's ridiculous. There has been quite a bit of discussion, obviously, and debate about the Georgia law. Now there is new debate about changes in the electoral process in Texas. And I used to believe that the Republicans were making a mistake in states like Georgia and Texas because, honestly, these very minor changes, and they are minor, that the legislatures have been pushing, really are not going to have a profound impact on elections one way or another. But maybe, just maybe, it's a brilliant strategy. Why? Because they have driven so many leading and prominent Democrats and people in the mainstream media to taking a position that is just wildly irresponsible. If you say of the Georgia law that this Georgia law makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle, I don't even know that Jim Eagle was a thing, but I guess it is by President Biden, that this is such an indefensible position that I think it undermines Democrats and their projects and prospects. We'll be talking about this and about the real Jim Crow with a historian, political scientist at Kentucky State University, who is an African-American black conservative, Professor Wilfred Riley. Coming up, should there be boycotts of Georgia or now of Texas? We'll get to that and more on The Medved Show.
Can I just say that you do more for radio than what high definition will ever do for television?
This is The Michael Medved Show.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. President Biden on Friday ordered the creation of a commission to study possible reforms of the Supreme Court, including whether to expand the number of justices or setting term limits for justices. As far as who will be on this bipartisan commission, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says,
"And the makeup of this commission, which was vital for the president, there are progressives on the court, there are conservatives on the court. People will present different opinions and different points of view, and then they'll have a report at the end of 180 days.
The panel will be led by Bob Bauer, who served as White House counsel for former President Barack Obama and is also a fan of term limits for Supreme Court justices. Hip-hop legend DMX is dead at the age of 50. Reports say he died of complications from a drug overdose. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Michael Medved Show, when it comes to issues concerning racism and how to transcend it into the clear sunshine of brotherhood, fellow citizenship, and sanity, nobody better to talk to than a friend of the show, Wilfred Riley, who's a professor at Kentucky State University and the author of some indispensable books, Taboo, 10 Facts You Cannot Talk About, and Hate Crime Hoax. He is, Professor Riley, becoming one of the most influential and significant black conservatives in the country. Professor Riley, you wrote a book called Hate Crime Hoax. Is the calling the Georgia election reform law a hate crime or a Jim Crow? Would that be a hate crime hoax or at least close to it?
I hadn't framed it in those terms mentally, but close to it, yeah, sure. I mean, the one thing I will say, I mean, as you mentioned, I'm on the center right politically, but you can have mixed feelings about this Georgia bill. It's a free country. I mean, a lot of the way, so you can support or oppose things like a ban on electioneering almost 200 feet away from polling places, but the presentation of this law in mass media was utterly, remarkably dishonest. Jim Crow was a period of time following the brutal conquest of the South by an integrated Northern army where Southerners reacted in the worst way humanly imaginable, hanging black people from trees and so on. I mean, just as no one is Hitler, nothing is Jim Crow. But, I mean, this particular bill actually included provisions that expanded the number of voting machines available in black and poor white precincts in Georgia. I mean, part of the stated intent of the law is that no one wait more than an hour to vote. There are exactly two controversial clauses or phrases in the law. One says that you need any form of ID to vote. There are six forms, of, I believe, that are accepted, and IDs are free in Georgia as an election approaches. And the second is this idea that you can't give, quote-unquote, gifts to people standing in the voting line. But that's extraordinarily standard. About half the states have that provision, although Georgia had not before. But that doesn't ban you from bringing water or using the water fountain that exists in literally any church or other polling place. So the take on this was absolutely insane by the mass media. It was universal. It was just sort of allowed. The networks ran with it as well, so on.
Why do you think it is that both sides, because the Democrats are pushing this sweeping restructure of all of our election rules, HB1, and Republicans, and now the next one is in Texas, they're going to be voting on a Voting Reform Act. Why, after one of the highest turnout elections in all of American history, the highest turnout election since 1908, which was William Howard Taft versus William Jennings Bryan, with a successful election on the books, why are we having this ferocious argument right now about election procedures? Do you understand it?
Yeah, well, I think this gets into one of the things that I actually research as a social scientist and that I talk about a lot that comes up with race relations, police shootings, so on. And that's the utter disconnect between a generally positive reality and the presentation in politics and mass media of the same facts. So, I mean, objectively speaking, if I were to say something like, we had an election between two candidates that, like him or not, were pretty well qualified. One was the sitting president. One got 80 million votes. One got 76 million votes. There's not a problem here. There's not really anything untrue about that statement. The people would look at me as though I had two heads. It would seem insane. So after major claims from a whole bunch of major players, including Donald Trump, who shouldn't have done this, Stacey Abrams in Georgia, who did it for 2 to 3 years, so on, that major elections have been stolen, there's massive concern about the voting system, even though there may not be a problem. And you're seeing the right respond by demanding stricter ID provisions and so on. And you're seeing the left respond by demanding things that I, with a slight right bias, think are way sillier, but, for example, universal mail-in. The question of whether there's a problem in the first place rarely arises in this kind of retail political climate.
But that's such a profoundly good point. And basically, there's this whole legend that we have a lot of things in America that are broken. But our electoral system really had not been broken before. And the difficulty in accepting elections partially comes from media malfeasance, you're saying. Isn't that right?
Yes, a short answer to a good question. But I think this is true across the board and not just in terms of voting, as really a lot of these left-right issues. I mean, kind of to run through some of the points in the book, you mentioned taboo very briefly. I mean, there's no epidemic of cops shooting black people. Last year, 13 unarmed black males total were killed in the country. There's no epidemic of interracial crime against blacks or whites. And for that matter, you know, planes don't often fall out of the sky. COVID's probably not going to kill you if you're healthy and under 50. Bears aren't going to attack you. I mean, there's money, there's gold in that arsenal. Sensationalism. And this is something people need to take into account when they look at MSNBC or something like that.
Well, it's not just MSNBC. I mean,
or Newsmax or whatever, to be fair. Yeah, the mass media, CNN in the middle,
yeah.
All of them.
Yes, and I agree with you entirely. There was recently some studies that came out about bad news bias. And taking a look at the highlighting, most of what you get on the news is bad news, because you talk about planes falling out of the sky. It's not news when a plane lands safely. It's, of course, big news if something goes wrong. How do we balance that as a country? Get back to actually recognizing that things kind of work. They function in America today. And on so many of these issues, things are not getting worse, they're getting better, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I've said often in published writing that the great sort of unnoticed trend of the past 500 years, I mean, since the bounce back in the West and Middle East after the fall of Rome, has been things getting better in terms of IQ scores, race relations, rights for women, the size of countries. Italy wasn't a country until 1896 or some such. So, again, I don't think most people know that because, as you said, there's not an incentive to talk about it. One thing I would recommend for journalists that may be listening to a major syndicated show, put some perspective in there. I mean, if one plane falls out of the sky, note in the piece, you know, this only happens to one in every 2 million flights. And I really do think basic things like that could minimize the panic that people seem to feel all the time.
Boy, do I ever believe that you're right. In terms of Republican leaders and people who are going to be running to take back the House and take back the Senate, what do you think is the winning and responsible line on this idea of voting integrity and our electoral system?
Well, first of all, I think both parties should avoid nonsense claims like I can prove the election was stolen. Virtually everyone that has said that from Trump. From Trump to Abrams to, I mean, Hillary Clinton came close. She didn't, it wasn't as bad on that one point as the other two. But I mean, that sort of thing, if you can prove that, you need to go to court and adjudicate that. I mean, there's no cause for left and right fighting in the streets after speeches making these sort of claims. I will say, I do support basic provisions like requiring an ID to vote from that sort of cynical urban individual perspective. When people say something like, well, there are only 190 prosecuted cases of voter fraud annually and so on, the obvious question is, how could there be any if you don't need an ID to vote? So I think there's a common sense element to saying, well, let's vet the voter rolls every couple of years to make sure felons aren't on them. You know, let's require IDs and a signature in the polling place. Obviously, disabled people can get ballots at home to stop the unions from sending in proxies. I support that. But people just openly claiming that their election was stolen every time, that's, the Republicans shouldn't endorse that. Neither should the Dems.
Amen. Wilfred Riley's indispensable books, The Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About, talked about some of them right here, and Hate Crime Hoax are both posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. We will be right back on The Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show, all across America.
Michael Medved's marvelous, malice-making media machine.
This is The Michael Medved Show.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. This is $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. From Discovery Institute, a special free mini book offer for MedVed listeners. What did Charles Darwin's ideas mean for society at large? Do we have free will? Are human beings merely meat in motion? Ideas do have consequences, and Darwin's ideas made scientific atheism credible. Get the free mini book, Darwin's Three Big Ideas, at discovery.org/MedVed. That's discovery.org/MedVed. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the new book, The Great Devaluation, is the number one business book in the world. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. Two-time national best-selling author and owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest-rated gold firm in the country. We help investors put physical metals inside their IRAs. My first book, Gold is a Better Way, sparked a movement. My new book, The Great Devaluation, is the number one book in the country. I believe every investor should own physical metals. It's why I'm giving away my best-selling book to anyone with an IRA with over $100,000 for free. Call 800-900-8000 to get the bestseller, The Great Devaluation, sent directly to your door. That's 800-900-8000. The new decision is now obvious. Don't you deserve to do it with the best? Call 800-900-8000 for your free book today. That's 800-900-8000.
The Michael Medved Show.
Michael, you are the best.
I love talking to Professor Wilfred Riley because he's such a clear thinker and he expresses his thoughts and point of view so clearly. And one of the things that emerges in his book, Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About, is that really the conflicts in America that we all look at as so irreconcilable are reconcilable. And there are a couple of, I think, very encouraging signs of that today. And there's a piece at a legal website, and it's called The Volokh Conspiracy, and it's run by a conservative-leaning law professor, and it basically takes a look at the new people that President Biden has recommended for his judicial reform commission. And what Professor Volokh says, and again, this is from a conservative point of view, but it's very encouraging because none of these are crazy, radical, critical race theory people. They are mainstream American judicial liberals, and they are not going to be, at least it appears, recommending some kind of court packing scheme, which a number of conservatives have been fearing profoundly. There's also this in the New York Times: Manchin's call for bipartisanship sets a course for the president. Senator Joe Manchin III of West Virginia flashed a warning sign for President Biden's infrastructure ambitions this week, renewing his plea for fellow Democrats not to ram through a large spending bill without first working to compromise with Republicans who have panned the president's plans. And President Biden yesterday said, "I'm going to bring Republicans to the White House. I invite them to come. we'll have good faith negotiations, and any Republican who wants to get this done, I invite. Okay, it didn't work out that well on his American rescue plan, the first $1.9 trillion. Maybe when it comes to this infrastructure bill, which is even bigger, the president will do a better job, including some Republicans, in negotiating things. And then there's even a more hopeful sign, because if there is one issue that has just been intractable between left and right, where it seemed impossible to get any common ground, it's the issue of guns. And there's a piece that is wonderful. It's really so sensible. It's by a guy named Dan Gross, who used to be a leading gun control advocate, who I think has seen the light. And as he puts it, whenever people talk about a ban, like a ban on assault weapons, people who are gun owners, who are defenders of gun rights, and I do see myself as a defender of gun rights, people hear the term ban and they say, uh-oh, right now they're banning so-called assault weapons, the definition is unclear, what are they going to ban next? Says, don't use the term ban, and don't think ban. Here's what he says in his column. It's headlined with the headline, Find Common Ground on Guns. She says, it breaks my heart to see gun control supporters, part of a movement I once helped to lead, repeat the mistakes that doom us all to the unacceptable status quo, tens of thousands of needless shooting deaths a year. If this pattern plays out again after the shootings in Georgia and Colorado, no one should be surprised. One of the most common questions I've gotten from journalists has been, if things didn't change as a result of, insert previously unthinkable tragedy here, how can we ever expect them to change? Well, he writes, though it does not grab national headlines, the daily toll of gun deaths and injuries is just as horrifying as our mass shootings, and more preventable as a matter of policy. The gun control movement should focus on the deaths and the injuries that are most common rather than be galvanized by mass shootings like the ones that put my brother in a coma. His brother was shot at a mass shooting on top of the Empire State Building 24 years ago. Of the nearly 40,000 deaths involving guns in 2019, well under 1% were caused by what the FBI defines as active shooter incidents. In an average year, 60% of deaths involving guns are suicides, which we tell you all the time, that don't meet the active shooter definition. And upward of 30% more are homicides that don't meet the active shooter definition, like episodes of domestic and gang violence. Even unintentional shootings, almost 1% of the total, outnumber mass shootings. In other words, the total number of victims from mass shootings, less than 1% of the total victims of shooting deaths. There are far more effective means to prevent these sadly routine tragedies than by focusing on assault weapons. And that means that it is both wrong and counterproductive for advocacy organizations and elected leaders to use the moments when the public is focused on gun control to push an assault weapons ban. The fact is that if one were to objectively list solutions based purely on how much they would lower the number of gun deaths in our country, an assault weapons ban would not be high on the list. And what would be high on the list? He lists a couple of things which I think most gun owners and gun rights defenders could go along with. He says, to create real and lasting change, we must end the culture war over guns. Instead, gun control groups are helping to perpetuate it. No decent human being, whether gun owner or not, wants to live in a country with our level of shooting deaths. The most meaningful way to deal with the problem, though, was not to look at how to keep certain guns from all people, but how to keep all guns from certain people. The people, almost all of us agree, should not have guns. It says, number one, we should vigorously pursue and prosecute the small percentage of gun dealers who are knowingly contributing to the illegal gun trade, a trade that is disproportionately hurting communities of color. We need to identify, he says, opportunities to strengthen the background check system by adding prohibited purchases that we all, including 90% of gun owners, agree should not have guns. For instance, federal rules governing privacy for health records could be modified to allow mental health clinicians to identify those who are a threat to themselves or others, so that they could be temporarily added to the national instant check system. He says invest in a large-scale education and awareness campaign on the dangers of owning and carrying guns and what can be done to mitigate those dangers. And again, he is not one of those people who says take guns away from people. And that kind of campaign doesn't need to be government funded. It could be funded by gun safety organizations, so-called. And by, I am sure that if they ever recover from their financial problems, groups like the NRA would contribute. Their whole Eddie Eagle program was there to help reduce gun accidents and was quite successful. And he says, clearly define what it means to be a federally licensed firearms dealer with standards that include sales volume. For years, gun control groups have talked about closing the, quote, gun show loophole. The real problem is not specifically gun shows, but people who are regularly selling multiple guns to strangers, regardless of the venue, without being required to conduct the same background check that federally licensed dealers must. Not only does this clearly contribute to straw man purchases and gun trafficking, it also puts honest dealers at a competitive disadvantage. He concludes this way, and I think this is a model for so many issues that we confront. The truth is, an assault weapons ban is not the most effective thing we can do to prevent gun violence, and the resulting debate undermines the extent to which the American public agrees on solutions that could bring us closer to what we all want, which is to make our homes, schools, and communities safer. Shouldn't that same approach be used for so many issues that seem to polarize Americans? It would be a good thing for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.